Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord loves us all. He loves His people. He cares about us in every way. And like I said last week, the Lord loves you for you, not what you can do for Him. You don't have to perform for God to love you. God loves you for you to the point that He died to save you while He died to save us while we were on the run from Him. You know, look at how the Word of God is worded. The Lord thought about us. And He thought about our situation when He told Adam that the seed of woman would crush the serpent's head and the serpent would bruise his heel. Now, He promised us redemption. He didn't have to do that. And He did this because He loved us. And He cares about us in every way. And He wants us to understand His love by sharing. He shared His love with us so that we could see what life should be like. Now, our enemy Satan, he represent God's wrong. He represent God the wrong way. And I was at a friend of mine's funeral, and the Lord had me to share with the people that, because I did the scripture reading. And He said the first authority figures in a child's life shape the way they see God. So when you back it up and you study the Word of God, you study Genesis. Israel obeyed God when they came out of Egypt. The Hebrews obeyed God. The Israelites obeyed God when they came out of Egypt. They did everything Moses told them to do because God told Moses what to tell Aaron to tell them to do, and they did it in that order. But they didn't trust God because in their mind, God was just like Pharaoh. They were used to Pharaoh because he was the authority figure that their parents obeyed. You see where I'm going? It took centuries for God to get Egypt out of them because they looked at God with Egyptian lenses. And people still do that to this day because the way that your parents represent God is the way you see Him. But when you study the Word for yourself, you see Him as He really is. And this is very important to understand. If a man had generous parents, the parents were, they were maybe middle class or even wealthy. Let's say they were wealthy and they were generous. Well, if they were loving parents and then That child grows up and becomes a Christian. And it's easy for him to believe that God is generous. But if that was another guy living across the street, his parents were wealthy, but they were stingy and frugal. They hoarded their wealth. Well, when that guy grows up and becomes a Christian, it's harder for him to believe that God is generous. But God is not like our people. He's like He is. He loves us. The Word represents who God is. And the Word is what you got to go by. What does the Word of God say concerning God? What did He say about Himself? How did He act towards man? This is what you got to study. When men have problems, especially like David, and they had situations like Job. If you study the whole book, you see a true representation of who God really is. He's not always like you think. He's not always like He's represented by others. Preachers, we know in part. Now, we're here to help point you in the right direction. But it's up to you to study the Word for yourself. God loves us. And I know so many Christians, some Christians, they will only listen to their pastor. Their pastor blessed them in the past, and that's the only one they'll trust. And the only other ministers they'll listen to is the ones that he invite. Now, that can that can be, sometimes that can be good, and sometimes that can be bad. Because God has great men of God out there that your pastor may not know. And as the years go back, it was worse. Some people would, you know, they wouldn't even give another pastor a chance to say anything. And then they'll go and ask their pastor what he said, whether it was true or not. We all know in part. So if you want the whole counsel of God, you have a relationship with him. There's no substitute for you relating to him. Jesus' name is also Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus bridged the gap so we can have a relationship with God. And that don't mean you can just go off on a tangent. If you stick with the word of God through Christ, you're going to be fine. Now, when there's something that's harder for me to receive, God tell me something that's very new to me, and it happens, I ask for a confirmation. I don't go around telling everybody what he said. And when I go to church, my pastor will confirm it. Or other men of God will confirm it. Or people on the radio may confirm it. People on YouTube videos I watch confirm it. So when God gives you something, a dream, a vision, communication, and you want, it's all right to ask for a confirmation. That means you're trying to do right. You're trying to be faithful with the information he's trying to give you. But if you go ask somebody who never studied the word or somebody who always try to know it all, you're going to get sidetracked. But if you ask God for a confirmation, he's going to send you a confirmation. You don't have to go and find somebody to confirm what God told you in your spirit. Unless he tell you to go ask this person. The Lord may direct you to ask the right person. He doesn't. You can't limit God. But the word of God, the point is this. The word of God represents who he is, but you have to study it. Now, the devil's words, they're infectious. Satan's words, it'll make you unclean. If you hear his words and don't do anything about it, it'll start as a gradual temptation. And if you let it alone, it'll grow into something you don't like, and it'll be hard to get rid of. Now, God's word don't work that way. If you hear God's word and you receive it, it will grow in you as you allow it to. If you start desiring the right things, your desire for what's right will grow. And then the Holy Spirit can tell. And then he'll give you more information. And then sometimes he'll send other people to water the word that you did receive. Because he's trying to help you out. He's trying to help you understand who God is. But it's going to always be your choice. God will not hijack your choice. And people pray that God will save their children, just hijack their choice. God don't do that. You have to give them the word of God. You can pray to God to send laborers to them and help them remember the word that they did hear. And you can pray that their faith fail not. Because every one of us are challenged. And I don't like talking about the devil at all. I don't like him. He don't like me either. I don't like Satan. And I don't like his ways. I hate every one of his ways. You can't win against Satan if you think like him. So you have to break agreement with him. You have to reject what he's talking about, what he's suggesting. And a lot of Christians have unnecessary trouble because they don't do that. They fight him over here, but they like what he said over there. You know, they don't do something about the things that's going to cause them problems. You know, everything of Satan is twisted. He tried to get you to lust after people, after women. He tried to get men to lust after women, for instance. And they say, well, I'm a man. That's Jesus said, if a man lusts looks at a woman to lust after, he's committed adultery with her in his heart. So that means you can't see them the way Satan suggests. You got to see them the way God presented them. You got to love them for who they are. And if you love them, you can't be tempted with them the same. And the Lord taught me that. I asked. I said, how do you kill temptation? He said, love them. And it works. I had to learn to do that. I did it. And it works. Because Satan challenges us in every way there is. Anything that you like that's wrong, stop liking it. Ask God to help you. Do it in His strength. Receive the word in that area. If you're lazy and don't like to lift a finger and work, then read the scriptures where it tell you to work. Read the Proverbs so you can see how beautiful life becomes when you go out there and do your own work. And as you begin to do so, your body will get strong and you'll feel better. You'll sleep better. You won't feel ashamed everywhere you go. But lazy people, they ruin relationships because they're lazy. That's not God's way. I said, Lord, what's your definition of laziness? He said, laziness is a death. You can't agree with Satan over here and then think you're going to win over there. You got to break ties with all the things of darkness. It's not helping you. It's not doing you any good. And your appetite can change, but you got to give it to God by receiving God's word and endeavoring to do it God's way. Now, this is something that Isaiah said. It's very important. Because man is on the run from God. This is what Isaiah said. Isaiah 53 verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now watch verse 3. This is talking about Jesus Christ. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. And he was grieved because he came to help us and we were running the other way. And men were trying to kill him because they didn't understand salvation. Now these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. Every broadcast is free. They're free, but they're not cheap. And I made it free because people need the word. If they get the word, they're going to grow and be stronger. And all the websites, newlivingletters.com. Audio paid $6 this year. And all the broadcasts are free. And this one's on there in real time. Now, let's continue. Verse 4. Well, let's look at 3 again. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Then it says, verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Now, when people tell you about salvation and you never heard it before, they tell you what Jesus did. That kind of love is not from around earth. People don't behave that way to come and become a man and die for everybody. So people don't always believe it. And then their thoughts and opinions are groomed by the devil, by the world. Now, when I say devil, that can offend people. But think about it. Satan has been operating in the dark and you didn't know it. How could you know it? Why do you believe the way you do? What kind of research did you use to come to the point that you came to? How did you come up with the opinion you adopted? And why? What is it shaped by? Where did it originate? If things are going so well, why do you believe the things of darkness that is helping you? And you never ever tried out what God is saying. But when you study the word of God, that's the beginning of your research. When you're giving God a chance to prove himself in your life, You're gonna if you follow these things through, like wise people would do, you're gonna learn for yourself, and it won't be hearsay. It'll be you and God through Christ, you and Him. You're gonna learn that God is good and Satan is bad, and you're gonna learn that all the things of God is better. All Satan do is gives you a perverted option. Everything he say is perverted. And you can't know that it's perverted until you look at what the light, you can't judge darkness until you've been in the light. When you go in God's presence and learn, then you can say, hey, you'll see what's wrong with what's wrong and where it causes you to end up. Every way of darkness will hinder you from receiving Christ. And sometimes people break through and they receive Christ. And from that point on, their lives began a healing process. But the healing process runs better and faster when they reject the darkness. You're required to receive what God is saying and then turn around and reject what Satan is saying. You receive the love of God and you reject the hatred of Satan. And as you see, as you live and go forward, you begin to realize the irritations in your life. You ask the Lord, what's going on? And the Lord give you His wisdom. And then you drive out the irritations, the things that you didn't know about, the things that you held on to that wasn't helping you. You drive those things out. And then there are people in your life that may not be doing what you're doing. They may not be endeavoring to know God. Some of them will get on board. Some of them will share in the healing process. Some of them will come to life. Some of them will want what you have. And some of them will be more reluctant, but you have to be patient. And the Lord will show you how to help them if you can help them. And helping people take time. You have to remember something. When we introduce people to the things of God, God is patient with people. Because salvation is a process. You have to hear the word and you have to come to a point that you believe it. Now the Holy Spirit will help you. And He'll give you repentance. He'll give you a mind to repent, a heart to know Him. When that happens for you, treasure it. Don't throw it away because your life is on the line. We are born with a death sentence. If a very young child dies, they're in the kingdom of God because they don't know their left hand from their right hand. They also don't understand sin. So God knows how to deal with them. But when you're old enough and you know that sin is in the world, you have to deal with it. If you want to be in the kingdom of God, you have to go through Christ. He said, come to me like little children. This means all little children will come to Him if they have the right upbringing. But even an angel can't raise a hard-headed man. But a child will listen to love. A child desires love. If you desire love, you can commune with God. But if you're haughty and prideful and you always got to be right, you might not make it. But when you can humble yourself and receive what God is saying, now you can live. And you'll begin to be bold about the right things, not the wrong things. Sometimes people don't give the word a chance. Now, our first opinion of Jesus was just like what Isaiah said in the first four verses. He said, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Verse 1. For he should grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we should see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus didn't come like a king in a robe. He came like a common man, a carpenter's son. Joseph was his supposed father. He was born of a virgin. Now, Joseph and Mary, they were married. They were espoused. They were engaged. And the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and enabled her to have Jesus. See, his blood is sinless. Sin is transferred through the male, not the female, because the female was deceived. And this is explained in the New Testament. But for time reasons, we're going to go forward. Jesus was born of a virgin. Very important. If he was actually Joseph's biological son, it wouldn't have worked. But he was born of Mary, and the Holy Spirit enabled her to carry him. Now, but people didn't, he didn't come like a king in a fine purple robe with gold embroideries on it. He didn't have a crown on his head. He came as a common man. And his message was life. He brought life to everybody that would receive it. He healed the sick, raised the dead, caused the blind to see, caused the deaf to hear. This is what he did. This is what, and he came from the place that he, from Bethlehem. He went to Egypt and came out of Egypt. Everything that was prophesied about Jesus, he did to the T. There was nothing that was prophesied about him that did not happen to his earthly ministry. And he's coming back because everything else was done. He will be back. And when he come back, everybody that's caught off guard is going to run as in terror. But everybody who believed on him, they're going to be rejoicing because a change was made in them. So he didn't come in a grandiose way like people would expect, like the Antichrist is going to do. All right, so for he should grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Then it says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. He brought life to us. And we thought that he was not of God. My daddy was a preacher. I didn't get saved till I was almost 20 years old. I was 19, 3 weeks away from being 20. Before I believed on Jesus. And now I wish I had gotten saved a long time before. I went through the high school without knowing Christ. I knew about him, but I didn't know him for myself. And there's a difference. If I had died, people would have thought I was a Christian. And I knew I wasn't a Christian because I didn't ask him to save me. I wanted to make sure that I would obey him. I felt like it. Now, you know, we deal with our opinions as we do. And, you know, I've seen a lot. I grew up in church and I saw a lot of things. And I wanted to know that if I followed God, I would stick with him and it wouldn't mess up. I felt like it was too important. But my reasoning was off. But it through it all, I thank God that he saved me. It was, my life is no different than anybody else's. I found out God is good. Verse 6 says, all we like sheep have grown astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So God did do something about your sin. The blood of Jesus washed your sin away so you can live and enjoy life. This is what people have to come to a point that they understand. Then they can relate to God and get the facts and stop going off dead opinions. All the religions in this world are dead religions. They are dead. They will not take you to heaven. And so many people, they die and fall right into the pit. Muslims, Hindus, atheists. These are people that God loves and want to save. And nobody had the guts to tell them the truth. And then when people try, so many people, there are so many voices telling people the wrong information that it's hard to judge. And then they speak evil of the people that's telling the truth, and people are hindered from coming to the truth. And this is sad. This is our world. Then they say, well, you hate everybody. You just hate us. No, why would I put my life on the line to say something like this if I hate you? Why would I do a broadcast and tell people the truth if I hate you? That doesn't make sense. But God loves us, and we share the responsibility, if we know better, to do better. And that's just the way it is. We share the responsibility to do better if we know better. And we need to try to know better and not get out of it and play ignorant. People that's playing ignorant, they're going to be judged for playing ignorant. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He loves us. That's the point of it all. He